Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Welcome again, friends, to the Deeper Daily Broadcast. As I said yesterday, if we move fast, we can get through a whole segment because it's about 25, 26 minutes long. We got just enough time yesterday and today to do it. Let's get back into and conclude Romans chapter 9, verses 12 to 24. It's because Jesus is all the way through that Old Testament to give to us who he is and what he is. So Paul uses Old Testament. He says, look, it's God. God said to Moses, I'm going to have mercy on whom I'm going to have mercy. I'm going to have compassion on whom I'm going to have compassion. He's actually quoting Exodus 33, in case you were wanting to know the reference that Paul is using. So then it's not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but it's of God that shows mercy. So it's not the Jew that does it or the Gentile that does it. It's God that picks it. It's God that does it. Verse 17, for the scripture says to Pharaoh. Now, once again, Paul is going to quote the Torah to prove a point. Now he backtracks. He was quoting Exodus 33. Now he rewinds to Exodus 9. And I realized that they didn't have chapters and verses. So that's why he doesn't quote chapter and verse. They didn't have it. The scripture, they just had a big scroll. The scripture said to Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised you up, that I might show my power in you and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, has he mercy on whom he will have mercy and whom he will he hardens. Now, why does Paul quote Exodus chapter 9? Because Exodus chapter 9 is God telling Moses, I raised up Pharaoh for such an hour as this. I raised up Pharaoh so that I might show my power in him, that my name could be declared through all the earth by what is about to happen. So Paul is using an example. If God can do that, can God not raise up the church? Can God not raise up the message of grace to bring the Gentile people home? Can he not do that? Remember, Paul is talking to the Roman church, which is a mixture of Jews and Gentiles, which is why this book jumps from Jew to Gentile and then intersperses them in between. But also know, it is to the church at Rome. So most everyone who is reading this has accepted Christ as their Savior. Please don't be confused when you read this text and say, see, Paul's talking to Israel, trying to show them that they're still saved, but the Gentiles are saved as well. Never be confused into believing that a Jew goes to heaven that does not accept Jesus Christ. Because if that be the case, then the law can save you, and the law can't save you. Jesus has given us a new covenant, a better covenant. You can't have two covenants in effect at once. You have to have a new covenant has to replace and displace the old. So we can't live under both covenants. That's a mixture of covenants, and God doesn't work in mixtures. Sometimes we call it balance. God calls it mixture. I've heard people say, oh, you need to balance out all that grace preaching with some good old-fashioned law so people will know how to live. What you call balance, God calls mixture. Put old into the mix, and you'll break the wineskin. Put new wine into old wineskins, you break the wineskin, Jesus said. Why? Because you can't house that which is new in that which is old. That which is old can't handle that which is new. The old covenant can't handle the promises of the new covenant. It was incapable of doing what the new covenant can do because it had an imperfect sacrifice attached to it. The old covenant had lambs, bulls, goats, turtle doves, pigeons. The new covenant has the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. With a new sacrifice attached to it, the new covenant is superior to the old covenant. Thus, you can't have two covenants overlapping. Paul is trying to explain this. So don't read Romans 9 and say, well, I think Paul's telling the Jew that they're okay, but they just need to accept the Gentile. No, Paul's talking to the church at Rome. He's talking to Jewish Christians, people who have claimed Jewish heritage, but have accepted Jesus as their Savior, but they don't think the Gentiles should get all the promises they get. And this was something Paul had to deal with constantly. Every time he ran into a group of Jews that believed on Jesus, they looked down their nose at Gentiles who believed on Jesus for two reasons. One, because the Gentiles didn't do the stuff of the law. They didn't keep the law of Moses. That infuriated Jews. Two, Gentiles were walking around like they got all kinds of blessings, and Jews felt superior because they knew they had the blessing of God. Paul comes along and says and confronts both topics. Number one, they don't have to keep the law. Neither do you. Accept Christ by faith. Grace will teach you how to live. Okay? Two, they do get the blessings that you have, because Paul would write in 2 Corinthians 1, the promises of God are in Christ and they are yes and amen. So all the promises God made to Israel, God gave the Gentile through Christ, and the Gentile, if he wants them, all he's got to do is say yes and amen. So when you hear something good about God, say amen, because you're receiving unto yourself that promise. Now that's scripture. That's not a theory. That's Bible. That's plain and simple. You want the promises of God in your life? When you hear them, say yes and amen. Not because you've earned them by works. Remember, Jacob and Esau are in Rebekah's womb. This is what we just read in Romans 9:11. They're in Rebekah's womb. They get what they get, not by works. How can they get it by works? They're babies. They don't get it by works. They get it by election. So you and I don't get what we get by works. We get by being a part of the elect family of God. How are we part of the elect family of God? By placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Philippian jailer said to Paul, what must I do to be saved? Philippian jailer, he's a Greek. He's a Gentile. What must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. He doesn't introduce to him the law. He doesn't introduce to him communion. He doesn't introduce to him baptism or tongues. He just says, believe on Jesus, you shall be saved. Believe on Jesus and you shall be saved in your house. Does that make the guy run out and live like an animal? No, he's believing on Jesus. How do you believe on Jesus, run out and live like an animal? Let's stop letting the devil cheapen the message of grace with foolish things such as that. Let's believe on Christ, believe him as our sacrifice, believe him as our salvation. That brings us to Romans 9:19. Thou wilt say then unto me, or you will say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? No, but O man, who are you that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made thus? Why have you made me this way? So it's Paul's way of saying, why are we questioning God whether he has the right to bring the Gentile into the promise? No, we don't have the right to say, and this is the reason Paul's confronting this, is because these were the arguments. What gives these Gentiles the right? Right? I don't believe that God would bring them in. All they have to do is believe by faith God brings them into the promises. No, we have the blood of, we're Jewish blood by heritage. So how can we find fault with God? How are we going to resist God's will? Paul says, you can't say to the thing that made you, why did you make me this way? Now, some people do. Some people say that to God, but Paul says, why would you say that? And he gives you another illustration. Verse 21, has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel to honor and another to dishonor? Now, what's this mean? It doesn't mean that God makes one person honorable and the other person not honorable. It's an illustration. Please understand. The illustration is, can't the potter make one vessel one way and another vessel another way? In other words, sometimes he makes one vessel and it's perfect and then another vessel's marred. He has the right to do that. Doesn't God have the right to do what he wants to do because he's the potter? You're the clay. Doesn't he, not this, and again, this doesn't mean that God makes one person intelligent, one person dumb. Paul is saying, doesn't God have the right by his will to bring Gentile believers into the exact same promise as Jews just because he wants to? Paul's making God very, very simple here. Where the Jewish Christians have been trying to make God very complex. Paul's bringing them right back to their very own scriptures, the very Torah that they've been claiming, and it says God is able to do what he wants. Look at Romans 9:22. We're proceeding through the chapter. What if God, willing to show his wrath, willing to show his anger, and make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. What's the question? What if God was willing to show anger and make his power known, but instead he endured with patience all the people that he should have been killing, should have been judging? What if God did that? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. In other words, folks, God, you agree that God's a God, that God can judge, that God has wrath, that God pours out his anger against sin. He says, what if God was so willing, because of love and grace and mercy, to stop that judgment so that he could bring in Gentiles as well as us Jews? What if God wanted to do that? Doesn't God have the right to hold off so that he can save Jews, Gentiles. I ask you, doesn't God have the right to delay the rapture one more day, one more year, one more decade? And why does God delay his return? If you know, I used to think, man, if I was God, I'd want to get this thing over with. Let's bring the church home. And no doubt he wants to bring the church home, but his love for sinners is so great that he delays and delays and delays, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I find it fascinating. In the Old Testament book of Genesis, chapter 5, the Bible gives you Adam's genealogy from Adam to Noah. And Noah's, I think it was his grandfather, was Methuselah. Methuselah's name in the Hebrew means, his death shall bring. Now, his death shall bring what? Well, when Methuselah died, 969 years old, the oldest recorded lifespan, the longest recorded lifespan in human history, 969 years he was alive. When he died, if you do the math and the genealogy, the very year he died, the flood happened. It doesn't mean he died in the flood. It means the flood happened the year he died. 969 years he lived, and then the flood. His death shall bring is what it means in the Hebrew. Isn't it interesting that he lives longer than anybody else, and his name means his death shall bring? Doesn't it show you that the moment he was born and God named him, his death shall bring, God delays almost a millennium bringing the flood onto the earth? What mercy and grace and compassion God has on humanity. Let us not claim that we properly understand his grace and mercy. Instead, let us every day pursue after more and more of his grace and mercy. Grace, mercy, favor. Even us, whom he hath called, not of Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Notice that everyone he's talking to are Christians, who he hath called. This isn't just Jews. If he meant the call of an Israelite, then he could not have included Gentiles. He meant Christianity. Those of us who are saved by the blood of Jesus, not only Jews, but also Gentiles, they're going to receive all of the same mercy and grace as a Jew because they've been adopted into the family of God. There's an adoption that happens when you accept Christ as he brings you into his family. In the final segment, we're going to stop right here, but in the final segment, we will include the 25th to the 33rd verses. That'll bring us through the 9th chapter. And the last segment's going to deal with the prophet foretelling how Israel will be blind and mercy will go out to the Gentiles. We'll talk more about that as that segment approaches. This segment, though we read verses 8 through 13, we really dealt exclusively, I believe, with Romans chapter 9, verses 11 through 24. I hope it's been a blessing to you. Remember, you are deeply loved, greatly blessed, and highly favored. God bless. That concludes this segment, which is available on one CD, Romans chapter 9, verses 12 to 24. The CD is R92, offer number R92. Contact the ministry, and we'll get it to you as quick as we can. Tomorrow, we're going to air for you a sermon we're very excited about. Don't miss it. Until then, this is Paul White. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.